Time. Good evening. Good to see everybody. How are we all doing? Good. I want to welcome Jarvis here with us tonight. It's been some time since he's been here. And you say street preacher and out in the community. So we need more of them, don't we? Yes, sir. What's that? 40 years. 40. Yeah. Well, I'm 42, so I guess I was two when you started. But that's still a long time, isn't it? That's a long time, and I think in the past you've been by Floyd Road a few times. I think that's probably when we officially met. It's been a long time ago, but good to have you back, and it's good for me to be back. I'm glad that me and my family's back. We had a great time, and it was really a mixed bag of an experience. It was good weather. We swam every day. We got burnt like bacon. And we just enjoyed ourselves, ate some great food. I will say this, that it was a rainy, well, it was actually this time last week. It was in the evening time. We were leaving from eating at a restaurant, and we were at a red light. It was raining, and all of a sudden, this Jeep ran through a red light in a Toyota Tacoma, hit him, T-boned the Jeep, and it literally flipped right in front of us and slid and kept coming, and it landed from me to that wall was the underbody of the Jeep, and God protected us. That car almost landed on top of us. If we were a little bit further forward, then that's probably what happened. But so I put it in park, got out, ran up there, that was my natural reaction, wanted to help somebody. And there was a couple of men there. They ripped the roof off. There were four people hanging by their seatbelts on their sides. No children, just hearing a lot of screaming and yelling. Terrifying experience. And but everybody was fine. But that was a part that we didn't like about it. And everybody was fine. So, but we appreciate you letting us get away for a little while. And like I said, we just had a good time, good relaxing time. And I heard y'all had some good services here. This time last week, you had a pianist here, I believe. We tuned in and watched some of that, and so that was good. And then here, Brother Allen did great, and Brother Kevin did great Sunday night. So that is great. Appreciate them filling in for me. We'll go ahead and get going, give way to our prayer request and our updates. Let's remember Leonard and Dolores Palmer. Miss Dolores goes tomorrow for a heart update to get the results on her heart tests. And Brother Leonard's having a tough time with what he's going through treating this cancer. He went to for his three initial visits each week there, I believe, at Northside and Kenton. And now he's going for his every Monday treatment, or going to start for life, is what we hear, those treatments. And so, Brother Ceylon, did you say they put a port in already, or they're Monday they're going to put the port in? He's been having a lot of reactions to the medicine, confusion, tiredness. Did you say that he couldn't even walk one day? So Brother Leonard needs our prayers. Miss Dolores needs our prayers. And I know you guys are watching tonight, at least I'm sure you are, and we love you, and we are praying for you, so do know that, but let's remember them. Miss Connie Norton had a fall. Trail called me, I believe it was Saturday, last Saturday, I believe it was, he called me, and he walked in the house and found Miss Connie laying there face down in the kitchen floor in a pool of blood. That was his words. He didn't know if she was dead or alive, but come to find out, her sodium was low, maybe some other factors in there as well, but she's alert now. She is in ICU at Kenistone. She has about 10 staples in her head, and so they're just keeping her under observation until she's better to go home. But remember Connie, remember Brother Trail. And I know everybody around here has heard this. I got the news when we were in Panama about the Nealands. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Some things you just cannot explain. I don't know how to explain that. I ain't going to try to explain it, what happened to them. I know that there's probably the investigation of the plane is still underway, what really happened and all that. There's the mechanical side. There's, you know, the humanistic side of it. You know, humans build those planes, and so things are bound to happen from time to time, but not like that we would ever want to happen. But I just don't know. At a loss for words. From what I hear, maybe Brother Randy in the back can correct me if I'm wrong, but one of them, if not all of them, were Powder Springs people? Smyrna area? Okay, okay. I know that they were good friends with over at Grace Baptist, Brother Bo in Dakota. Dakota started singing with them when he first started singing. And so a lot of close relationships in Powder Springs, I should say. But let's certainly remember their family and what they may be going through, unimaginable pain emotionally. So let's remember that. Let's remember our children's home. School starts back for Lily and for Kristen tomorrow. And Kristen's going to Grace this year. And so they start back tomorrow. I believe the children's home starts back on the 6th, I want to say. But we'll have special prayer on Sunday morning for all the kids that are starting back for school. Let's really pray for our kids. They're up against a lot. You know, there's bullying, there's social media, you know, chasing boys and girls, which I know is a natural thing, but it shouldn't be like it is, chasing boys and girls. I mean, breakups and heartache, all those things are real in the lives of teenagers. We'll just pray that they won't be distracted and that they will be just dedicated and focused when school starts. I already told Lily, I told Kristen, I said, I'm here if you need me. I said, I'm always up here at this school. I said, we had to have a couple removed in times gone past, students, for bullying. I said, and we'll push that envelope again if we have to. So they're up against a lot. So let's remember all those starting back to school. But remember our children's home, James and Shirley Townsend, Don and Carla Rich, Miss Carla's brother, Don. Any updates on him? He's still rehabbing. Okay, remember him. And again, Brother Trail and his friend Bill Zimmerman. Of course, Miss Connie we mentioned. Diane Ely, I haven't been in touch with her if she has a scheduled date for her back surgery or not, but I will be in touch. Miss Claudia, Brother Harold, the Daly's, the Ashworths, Jimmy and Jenny Clayton, McCrickards, Joyce Manning, which all those are our shut-ins, James Tolan Brown, Kevin Brook. Let's remember all of those. We'll open up the floor. Maybe someone has a prayer request. Miss Glenda? Okay. I'm sorry, who is this again, to David?
It's our grandson. Oh. David's brother's grandson.
Yes. Certainly, certainly. Let's remember this. Hassan? We'll remember that for sure. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah, Jarvis? Amen.
Back
Yes. Yeah. Bless you, bro. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Cassie. Anyone else? All right. Well, again, it's good to be here tonight. Midweek service. Let's just be in prayer for the young people downstairs and, of course, our service up here. Remember this coming up Lord's Day, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'm ready to preach. I got a couple things I want to share with you on Sunday that I experienced. I'm not going to mention it tonight, but I experienced a couple, one major spiritual thing in Florida that I'll share. Is I'm working it into a message, and so I feel like God wants me to preach on it maybe Sunday morning or Sunday night. So we'll share those things with you then. And again, let's just remember this upcoming election. We do know that it's time to elect the president again, so let's remember that, everything our country's going through. And let's just remember one another in prayer as well. So all that would, meet me in the altar, and we'll have a time of prayer together. You can pray where you're at. I'm sorry. Thank you, Miss Lee Ellen. Our choir appointment will be tomorrow night, Victory Baptist Church. That's off Mimosa Drive, I believe it is. I got it on Facebook. But so our choir members are, you that are here tonight, will you be going, I hope? Do you know where Victory Baptist is at? Okay, if not, just message me, call me, ask me, and we'll tell you where it's at. So 7 o'clock, Brother Mike Bagwell's preaching. Has anybody ever heard Brother Mike preach? Mike Bagwell. Very good. Very good preacher. Very good. All right. Well, if that's all, we'll come together for a time of prayer, and then Brother Jeff has a song. You can pray where you're at, or you can pray down front.
then we're going to be doing the Haven of Rest.
A haven of rest. Jesus being our anchor, we can anchor into Him and we can receive rest. Praise the Lord for that. Open your Bibles tonight to 2 Samuel 23. And while you're turning there, I do want to share one experience in Florida with you, if I could. 2 Samuel 23, there is a place called Pier Park that many know about. There in Panama City Beach, a lot of shops, places to shop, places to eat. And it's a very congested area, very packed. And one night we were going through there, and I heard somebody yelling. And it sounds like that they started to rap, like a rap song. And so we made our way around, we crossed the street, and we were walking up on the sidewalk. And I looked over there, and he stopped rapping, and he started preaching. And we had a street preacher, Brother Jarvis, right there in the middle of Pier Park. And he had signs about turning to the Lord for salvation. And I walked up to him. I didn't want to startle him. I didn't want to think that I was against what he was saying, because I definitely wasn't. But I got caught up in the moment, and I said a hearty amen, brother, right there in front of him. And he looked at me. He's like, I guess he didn't expect that. I said, praise the Lord, keep on preaching, brother. I said, Romans 10:9. I went down the Romans road. I quoted it to him. I was so excited. I told Christy, I said, I'm getting ready to preach out here. I asked him if I could grab his microphone. What courage. What courage that took. I mean, there were hundreds of people out there, and he was out there preaching. That was just a very special experience. Not what I'm going to preach about this coming up Sunday, but or what I intend on preaching on this coming up Sunday. Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good, brother. That's good. And yeah, it was definitely something hearing him preach like that. It was a blessing. It was refreshing. And 2 Samuel 23. We have preached from this chapter before, a couple different occasions, different things. One time we preached a message out of 2 Samuel 23 on protecting your pea patch. I don't know if you remember that one or not, but we have a list of David's mighty men, and one of them was named Shammah, and he had a piece of land full of lentils. And he stood up against those Philistines, and he protected what God had given him. He protected his pea patch. And so that's not my message tonight, but let us protect our pea patches, the things that God has blessed us with, because we certainly have to fight for them. And they're not going to come easy. And again, this chapter, it deals with David's mighty men. And they are cataloged here in this chapter. They're cataloged along with their acts that they did. There are honorable mentions in this chapter. If you notice in verse number 1 of chapter 23, now these be the last words of David. And so David is mentioning some things that happened in his life and some men that were there for him. Thank God for those that come alongside of us, come alongside of you to help us out along the way when we're hurting, when we're struggling. I just praise the Lord tonight for the church and for the helpers of our faith that are there to help us. And so David gets into all of that, mentioning some of their acts and some things that they did. He cataloged these men here. And then we get to verse number 13, down through verse number 17. And we see an account here of three of David's mighty men, three of 30 that he mentions, who granted their king's request. King David had a request. David wanted a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. And these three out of 30 heard the call, answered the call, and fulfilled the call. David wanted a drink from the well of Bethlehem. This evidently was a well that David remembered from his early days, even before he was king. He remembered drinking from this well. And he remembered how fresh the water was and how it invigorated him physically and how it refreshed him. And so he remembers drinking from this well from days gone by when life was simple and there were no distractions. And so now we have David, he's in a place of conflict. He is experiencing adversity at Cave Adullam. He's under great pressure and duress from the attacks of the Philistines, the enemy, which had taken over Canaan land. And so David is in a place of anxiety and adversity. And he just remembers the days gone by when he used to drink those fresh waters from the well of Bethlehem and how it invigorated his whole being. Now, there were times in David's life where he wasn't in bad places. He was in good places. There was a time where he was in Hebron, and this was a high point in his life when he was anointed king over Israel. That's back in 2 Samuel 5:3. You don't have to turn there. And so David experienced both low places in life like Adullam and high places and high points in life like Hebron. And the same goes for you and I tonight. The longer we live and the time that we have lived so far, we have experienced low points in our life like Adullam when we're going through times of adversity and we're cave dwellers. We are hiding, so to speak, figuratively, in a place away from people in retreat because of what we're going through. But then we would all have to say we've experienced great, powerful experiences and times like David did over in Hebron, where he was anointed king. Those good times in life where God has blessed and God has moved and God has worked. We all experience low points and high points. So David, he is certainly at a low point here. Notice, if you would, in verse number 13. The Bible says, and three of the 30, we're going to get back to that, three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold or a place of defense in the garrison or the military post of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. I want to call your attention tonight to verse number 15, where the Bible says, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. I want to speak to you tonight for a few moments on this subject. And that is, David longed for a drink. David longed for a drink. He longed for a drink from the well of Bethlehem. And I want to mention three things about this drink that David longed for and try to compare it to our life or draw some parallels. Number one, we see David's desire for a drink. Verse 15, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate, exclamation point. David is in a dark place. This is the recount of this story. He is in a low point. He is in the cave Adullam. The enemy is all around him, and he thinks about how it felt to drink of those waters back in Bethlehem, how it invigorated his body. And he said, I wish that I could have a drink from that well because my spirit is diminished. I'm struggling. I need a drink. So he wanted a drink of water, but any water wouldn't do. It had to be from the water of Bethlehem. You know, this world offers many waters to drink from. The waters of drugs, the waters of alcohol, the waters of materialism, the waters of wealth, the waters of lust, the waters of fame, and the waters of fortune. This world has many wells of water that we can drink of. But David said, I want to drink from that well I'm so familiar with. I want to drink from that well that I used to run to when I was thirsty, when I was tired, when I was depleted and I was fatigued. And I would draw that water up and I would drink it and I would feel so nourished and so refreshed. David wanted to be revigorated spiritually tonight. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that feels dry, that feels dead even, or close to being dead. You're living in this world. You're battling a real enemy, the devil. You have your own stinking, rotten flesh. I have my own stinking, rotten flesh trying to just get me in a fix, get me in a jam. I want to drink tonight, not from drugs, not from alcohol, not from none of those things, but I want to drink from the wells of my salvation that God gave me. Don't you? The Lord offers living waters tonight, and those that are saved has those living waters. Now, you can go to the grocery store, and there's many different waters to choose from. There's Dasani. There's Smart Water. There's Core Water, Aquafina. There's store brand water, spring water, tap water. I didn't like Florida water where I was at. No offense to anybody that's lived in Florida. But we went and bought our water at the gas station. We used to live in Mississippi, and the water tastes like shrimp juice, okay? We don't like that kind of water. And so we had to go to the store and buy water in Florida. And oh, it was so good on that beach to drink a nice cold bottle of water. It was so refreshing. Now, I said this the last time that we preached from these verses, that there is a particular spot and kind of water that I like to drink the most. And it normally occurs when I'm cutting grass. I cut grass on Monday and about died, and I cut grass on Tuesday and about died. And so I'm here tonight, so I didn't die. All right? But I was thirsty. And cutting that grass, and what I'll do is, at the very end, I drink water, I take some breaks, but at the very end, what I like to do, I like to go right by my house, on the side of my house, turn that faucet on, and I stick my head under it. And I splash my arms, my legs, my face, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what would somebody think if they're walking by right now? I'm going like this in my hair with water splashing everywhere. You know what I'm saying? It looks kind of crazy. And then I'm drinking, I'm cupping that water. It's so refreshing to me. I love that. Back at Floyd Road when we used to work there and live there in the parsonage, I remember cutting grass all of those summers. And I'd almost army crawl to that water hose. I loved it and just laid up under that water. And so refreshing. So revitalizing to the body physically, but there is a spiritual element you feel as well. And so we see here that David, he had a desire. He said, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate, exclamation point. This man wanted a drink. This man needed a drink. Does anybody tonight need a spiritual drink? Amen. We all need a spiritual drink. And so during David's dark and dusty moment dwelling in Adullam's cave, he goes way back in his mind when he first drank of Bethlehem's well water, and it was forever etched in his mind and his heart, and he said, I want that drink. Again, living in the world we're living in, fighting with our flesh and dealing with problems, there are many fast drinks we can take that takes the edge off, the pressure off, but only that living water really gets us the distance. We get more mileage out of that living water than any temporary waters can help us. And so, no other rider or no other waters would do for him. Same goes for us. As I just said, once we've drank from the waters of the Holy Spirit and His blessings, only which God can give, nothing else will suffice the drowned soul. Don't turn there, but in Psalm 42, verse 1, the Bible says this, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. What's it going to take for America to pant after God? What's it going to take for the church to pant after God? Judgment must first begin at the house of God. And then the world. But if the righteous are scarcely saved, if the righteous aren't drinking from the water, what hopes does the world have to drink from the water? That's one reason why we have outreach every month. Every month. It's because we drank from that well and we're trying to invite others to drink from that well. We are just a beggar telling another beggar where we found bread. That's what we're trying to do. And so once we've drank from the well, nothing else will suffice. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. I want to pant after God more than anything. Even necessary food and necessary things. Listen, we all have troubles. We all have heartaches. We have automobile troubles. We got troubles at the house. We got things we need and this and that. But more than all of that, I want to pant after God more than those necessary things. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. I don't need to worry over this and that and this and that. The only thing I need to be concerned about is drinking from the Lord and His water spout, and He'll take care of this and that and this and that and this and that. But that's the challenge, isn't it? That's the challenge. It's just keeping our lips under the spout where the glory comes out. That's the challenge. Many times I try to put my lips under the spout where I'm having trouble, and I'm trying to drink from it. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to fix the faucet. I'm trying to make it work, and it leads to frustration. But when I change faucets and I drink from His faucet, somehow in the mix, He fixes this faucet. If that makes sense to you or not, I don't know. But the Lord, He has a way of fixing our problems and meeting our needs when we drink from His well. This well water from Bethlehem was what He wanted both physically and spiritually. So number one tonight, David longed for a drink. We see David's desire for a drink. But number two, we see David's dedicated to bring him a drink. David had many mighty men, but there were three that really went the extra mile for their king. Look at verse 13 again. Or look at verse 13. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. They came to check on their king. Three of 30. It didn't say 30 of 30. It said three of 30. Only three of the 30 were concerned about their king. Let me try to interpret that in language we can understand. There are so many so-called Christians. I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, but they're not concerned with their king. Many are called, but few are chosen. let us be concerned with our King. Let us check in with Him from time to time. Let us talk to Him from time to time. Let us receive instruction from Him from time to time. Many lives are being torn apart. Many Christians that once were faithful to church are out of church now. I don't know if it's because they have neglected their King. I don't know. Many people have their different dilemmas and situations as to why they're not in church anymore. But many of them have lost interest in their King. John 6:6 says, many at that time walked away and followed Him no more. So there were three of 30. David had mighty men, but there were three mighty men that were cataloged here because they cared for their King. They heard the heart cry of their King and acted. Look at verse 15 again. The men were there in Adullam, and David said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Those three men heard the cry of their King, and they acted on it. They acted on it. Look at verse 16. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines. You want to know how to break through some things in your life? Answer the call of the King. Hear the King. Answer the call of the King. That's how you break through barriers in your life. This one's addicted to that one. This one's on drugs. This one's on alcohol. This one's family is falling apart. When was the last time you had a talk with the King? They were so enthused and so desirous of wanting to fulfill the desires of their King, they broke through the host of the Philistines. If you need a breakthrough tonight, check in with your King. Check in with your King. The Bible says, again in verse 16, and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. So not only they heard his heart cry, they acted on it, they broke through the enemy wall, and then they just kind of casually just lowered the bucket and got the water. And here you go, King David. This is what you wanted. Here you go. Do we have anything to offer the Lord tonight? Now listen, I know our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's none good, no, not one. But do we have a drink to offer God? Do we have something to offer Him? Do we have something to offer Him other than just complaints? Do we have something to offer Him other than just being dissatisfied with where we're at in life? And, oh, this hasn't gone my way. And listen, there are times where I have my own complaints. God, why is this happening? Lord, why is this going on? But in the midst of all of that, I don't want to lose my focus on the Lord and what He wants. I want something to offer Him, although everything may be going wrong. What do we have to offer the King tonight? So they heard the heart cry of their King and acted. This cry was only a sigh to other men. But these wanted to totally please their King. Again, verse 13, the three of the 30 chief went down. 30 men weren't thinking about their King, but three men were. And when they were thinking about their King, they went to check in with their King, and they acted on their King wanting water. But the others that were left behind, the 27 that were left behind, King David, last I heard, he was doing okay. Last I heard, he was, you know, I think he may be down in Adullam. You know, I hadn't talked to him in a while, I don't know. But three, it was a sigh to many. Let us not let the cry of the King or let us be diligent about checking in with the King and not be those who do not check in with the King. Let us not be those who are just taking life as it is and being mediocre and mundane. You know, the Lord touched the lepers, but only one went back praising Him. I want to be the one that God touches where I come back and say, thank you, Lord. And so it was just a sigh to the 27, but the three, they wanted to check in with their king. We're talking about David's dedicated to bring him a drink. Those dedicated men. Now, this would be an adventure. This would be danger to answer the call of their king. They'll be stepping out of their safe place in Adullam, checking in with their king, and going into enemy territory to get that water. It would be dangerous. It would be an adventure. You know what the Christian life is? It's an adventure. Sometimes we feel like it gets dangerous. Sometimes it gets scary, but it is the great adventure. And these men knew that. They knew it would be an adventure. They knew that they may give their lives. They knew there was danger there. They knew there was a cost, but they went anyway for their king. Let this be our prevailing desire, no matter the cost, to please our king. For all he's done for us, we will follow him. Whatever valley may come, whatever adversity may happen, whatever struggle we may encounter, listen, it is easier preached than lived. How many times have I told you that? You know that. I'm much more bold right here in my faith than I am out there in my faith. But at the end of the day, whatever valley, whatever setback, whatever heartache may come, let us check in with our king, have a relationship with our king, and have something to offer our king. Is what I'm trying to say tonight. And so, let this be our prevailing desire. And I know it's your desire. You're here. You're the cream of the crop tonight. So, I'm preaching to me too. Let us value what God values. Let us devalue what God devalues. Let us honor our King with our lips, but also our lives. Someone said this one time, price tags are always attached to greatness. Greatness doesn't come by money, but it is earned by blood, sweat, and tears. Money doesn't make a person great, but working and striving, not giving up, keep moving forward. You get knocked down, you get back up again. Someone curses you to your face, you trade it with a kiss. You keep moving, you keep going. This is what makes a person great, is allowing Jesus to shine through them. Price tags are always attached to greatness. Think about Noah in his day when he preached judgment to come. God said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Go for wood. I always like to think, go for wood. He said, go for wood. Go for wood, however you want to look at it. Or it's go for wood, but I look at it as go for wood. There it is. I got it. But think about the ridicule. Honestly. Noah's building this ark. People walking by. What are you doing? I'm building a boat. What's a boat? I don't know. God told me to build it. He said it's going to rain. So you better get right with God. Oh, you're crazy. He's still building. Still building. Still building, still building. All the ridicule, all of the times people, of course, we're reading in between the lines here when it comes to Noah. But you can just imagine it the words that were expressed to him. And when the flood and the rains came, him and his family and two of every kind of beast and creeping thing came in the ark. And then when the door let down and Noah and his family got the ark, it was a brand new beginning. They achieved greatness, but it came by blood, sweat, and tears. It came by taking ridicule. It came by listening to their king. And so price tags are always attached to greatness. Greatness doesn't come by money. It's earned by blood, sweat, and tears. So these mighty men of David were cataloged because of the price they paid to please their king. Something else I want to mention. Not only David's dedicated to bring him a drink, but David's denial of the drink. How disrespectful, King David. They brought it. He said, I don't want it. look what the rest of that verse says in verse 16. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof. These three men out of 30 went to get him a specific drink. Now, if I wanted a specific drink from the racetrack and I was stuck at the house doing something, Christy, would you please go give me a drink? And she would go get it like I would her. When she bring it back, I wouldn't just pour it out. I know I wouldn't with Christy. Not if I want to live long, see long. You know, she is 9 months older than me. And so I do listen to my older woman. I wouldn't pour it out. You wouldn't pour it out. You would hold me. Thank you so much. What can I do for you? Why did David pour it out? It's a question that in Scripture is, it puzzles many people. But just for a moment, let's look at David a little different. Not so much as a king, but as a regular person like us. Why did he pour it out? He says, nevertheless, he will not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. I believe that David, he was so moved at what his men did for him. Look in verse number, I lost my place here. Verse 17, and he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? So David says, they could have died getting this drink. Their blood could have been shed over this drink. Their lives were at stake over this drink they gave me. And so he was so moved at what they did for him that the only thing he could do that would express his emotion would be poured out to the Lord. David was thirsty. And he wanted that drink. And he remembers how great it was to drink of those wells his men risked their life for. But he was like, you know what? Greater than my desire for this drink is to pour it out as an offering to the Lord for what these men did for me. And so David poured it out. He poured out an offering to God over what his body wanted, over the affections that he experienced, over wanting that drink so bad. He surrendered and poured it out to God. Wouldn't it do the church of God great if we crucified our affections and lust and instead of taking those carnal things in our hearts and minds and entertaining them, just say, Lord, instead of that, God, I pour it out to you. I pour out my soul as an offering, Lord. I submit to you. I surrender to you. He sacrificed his own desire to drink, to honor God and his men by pouring it out. In the Old Testament, there was the drink offering. And many times after the sacrifice, or while the sacrifice would be given, there'll be a drink offering. Sacrifice and offering closely connected. Closely connected. In other words, thank you, Lord, David's saying, for this blessing, I give this water to you as a sacrifice of my own desires for this great moment in my life. And the price that was paid by my men, I just poured out, Lord. God has been so good to us, hasn't he? I just don't think there's a lot of pouring going on. I just don't think that we are giving the Lord a cup of cold water often. I think there's a whole lot of in our day and this generation, this younger generation, it's like, gimme, 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 gimme. I need this, I need this, I need that. But there's not a whole lot of pouring out of our lives to the Lord. So David says, I'm just going to pour it. I'm not even going to drink it. The price that was paid for this water cost so much. The price that was paid on that cross was so priceless, so costly, There's nothing that we could do to ever pay him back. So at least what we could do is pour out our life as an offering to him. And give it to the Lord. And so David denies. He denies this. I think it would do us all well, speaking of me, from time to time to pour out our desires, wants, self-ambitions as an offering for what God has done. And I think it's good from time to time to pour out our praise to Him for what He has. Yes, I know the mountain in front of you. Yes, I know there's Adullam. But there's been Hebrons too. In spite of the adversity, in spite of the hard times, let us pour out. Because you see, it is the sacrifice of praise. It ain't real praise unless it costs you something. And we come in here Wednesday in, Wednesday out, Sunday morning in, Sunday out. And everybody's smiling. And that's great. You know, we're taught, go in with a smile on your face. Brother Harold reminds us all the time to smile from the choir. Thank you, Brother Harold. But behind those smiles, there's some miles. Behind those smiles and those warm hugs, there are hurting hearts. And so when we choose to praise the Lord in spite of our hurting heart, it is a sacrifice unto God. It is acceptable unto God. Sacrifice, offerings are closely connected. God loves it when we pour out our life as an offering. That's the kind of sacrifice that's accepted. Pour out our hearts with praise for all the personal, loving, kind things that God has shown to us, given, He has given His life for us. David says, I'm just going to pour it out. We should pour out some things to the Lord. We should pour out our praise to the Lord. We should pour out our burdens to the Lord. We spoke the other Wednesday about let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And run the race with patience that's set before us. We all have our own lane we're running in, and we have burdens. Let us just give that burden to the Lord for what He's done for us. Give it back to Him. Pour out our families to the Lord. There are many families that are going through turmoil and trouble in our world. There are families in our church that are going through trouble, that need God to intervene in their lives. I personally know of many that we have. I know every one of you in particularly, and I know something about you in your current situation in particularly. Not everything. I don't need to know everything unless you want me to. But I know you, and some of the situations that some of our families are facing, they have financial problems, they have some struggles within this their own particular family unit, maybe with their kids. You know, just problems. Let us say, Lord, I've done all that I can. You've been so good to me. Lord, I can't solve this problem. But because of the price that was paid and what you did for me, I give you my family. I'm done trying to figure it out. I'm done. It doesn't mean I'm not going to try, but I'm done trying to figure it out. It's driving me to the mental ward. I pour it out to you, Lord. Let us pour out our families, pour out our burdens, pour out our praise, pour out our addictions. What does God want you to pour out tonight to Him? Regardless of what you're going through, not being harsh or unkind, but God is saying to all of us tonight, I want that. I want it. And yet we argue with God and say, well, God, when times get better, I'll give it to you. When I'm not that anxious, I'll give it to you. When things work out, I'll give it to you. No! God says, give it to me now. Give it to me now. Did a lot of thinking in Florida on the beach. And guess what? It is an amazing thing. I had morning prayer in the ocean about this deep. Just out there floating. Clear water. I had the best prayer times out there. Christy and Lily and Kristen were on the beach getting their little pretty chairs set up and all that. I was just out there just Number one, hoping I wouldn't get eaten by a shark. But number two, man, I don't know, Ceylon, I was just, it was different. I love my special place at home, my prayer chair at home. I love that. I love prayer here. But I'm like floating in the water. You know what I'm saying? God's creation. It just hit me. I had a small time of prayer every morning that was amazing. It wasn't no hour, just a few minutes. But it was amazing. I was able to pour out some things. Man, I want to tell you this story so bad right now. But I was able to pour out some things, and God strengthened me, and I was so ready to come back when we came back. I was so ready to come back. Missed y'all, ready to preach and teach and check on this one, check on that one, you know. It was so good being gone. Thank you for letting us be gone. But I was so ready to be back, just restored, refreshed. You say, Brother Justin, did you come back and all your problems gone? No. They're still there. This one here, that one. I'm not talking about a person, just talking about things here and there. But I was able to pour out a little bit of gratitude to God. I was able to get connected with Him in the water. And what a blessing it was coming back refreshed. So for everything He has done for us, let us pour out these things. This is an act of worship to pour out our hearts and lives in surrender for all that He's done. And let us trust Him in everything. Easier preached than lived. We don't get explanations over things, why God does what He does, why He allows to happen what He allows to happen. We don't get explanations. We don't know. We don't know why the Nealands family was taken from them like that. We don't know why that happened. I still don't know why Brother Johnny Ivey had to get stage 4 cancer at 45 years old, one of my heroes, my seminary teacher, and die and leave his family behind. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. God got glory out of his, not only life, but death. I watched that man. He preached his last three services. He came in scrawny, yellow, and crawled to the pulpit and preached on a Wednesday night. And then he crawled to the pulpit and preached on a Sunday morning, crawled to the pulpit, preached on a Sunday night, and I believe he died that Monday or shortly thereafter that week. He died. And that's amazing. I'd rather have him here, though. And I know his family would rather have him here. So there's really no explanations. We just got to look at what God might be doing. And God certainly got glory through Johnny Ivey's life, but also through his death. I listen to Adrian Rogers a lot. Being dead, yet he's still speaking. I listen to Brother Berman a lot on YouTube. I wonder what he would think, Nancy Bobby, if he knew he was on YouTube. Brother Berman, you know. Being dead, yet speaketh. We don't agree with these things. We don't understand these things. We don't get explanations from God about these things. We just have to trust Him in these areas. Easier preached than lived. We have Leonard tonight. Woke up, he was paralyzed the other day. I just got this news. Brother Ceylon just told me. Miss Dolores has been checking in, and I've been checking in with them. But I don't know what all this. I don't know the reason why his body's doing this and his mind, and he's just not feeling good. I don't know. I don't know. But it's something that we're backing them up in. And we're praying for them, and we're being there for them. And they're experiencing a side of God that they probably never experienced before. And I'm sure they would say, I would rather trade this experience for a good time than this time, although I'm getting to know the Lord more. Does that make sense, anybody? I mean, who would want to lose a loved one and go on to heaven before you? And who would want to lose everything they got? The only good thing out of that is God has a purpose, and there is some kind of glory for Him in that somewhere, but I would rather have my family. I'm saying that tonight, being human, okay? I would rather have my family. I would rather have everything well and everybody around me and nobody dying and nobody in pain. But God seems fit from time to time to totally take us by surprise. My human self says, instead of God getting glory out of that, I would rather have my family. Does anybody understand? Now, have I lost my faith by saying that? Am I backslid by saying no? Because I want God to get glory. I don't want anybody to die in vain. A tragedy. Someone loses their home. There has to be reason. And because we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and born again, there is purpose. He works all things together for good. And so while we want things to be great, there's still some good somewhere to be found in it because God says there was good in it. Whether we see it or not, there is some kind of good in the bad. Is that okay? Am I off my track? Nancy, you tell me. I've known you a long time, you and Bobby. I mean, you know, y'all know what I'm saying? And so because of these things, we pour our soul to Him. Lord, I don't know. I know one thing. I'm not going back to the way I was. And God, you say you work all things together for good. Can you choose somebody else to do this too? To bring some good out and let me have everything perfect in my life? You know, that's what we think. God, He picks certain ones to walk through the fire to shine for Him. He trusted Paul with the thorn. Some people He can't trust with thorns because they'll turn their backs on Him. Whatever's happened to you, look at it this way. God has faith in you, and He has entrusted in you that experience because He knows that He will get glory out of your life. He couldn't trust somebody else with it. They'll tuck tail and run, but He trusted you with it. And that's part of Christianity. That's part of what heals our hurt is knowing that God somehow gets glory, and ultimately we want Him to. David's denial. Verse number 16 again, and the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. That's the message tonight. It's just simply David longed for a drink. I hope that you was able to see some truths between the lines and what we've tried to say. And let us do our very best to pour out an offering to the Lord this week and say, Lord, I just give you myself. Job sat up on the ash heap, lost everything. And he said, Lord, I trust you. In fact, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for the lesson. God, I pray that nothing was taken out of context that I said. I believe my people understand my heart. Ultimately, Lord, I want you to get glory. It's not that I don't. It's just we want to choose the better path that we think. We don't want to experience hurt and heartache, but God, it happens. But we know when it happens, you have some good intentions. We may not ever understand those intentions, but we trust your intentions. And so, Father, we trust you today with all of our life situations. Bring us home safely tonight. Bring us back safely Sunday morning, and let us on Sunday morning pour ourselves out. If everybody came full and poured out in the service on Sunday morning, Sunday night, any service, it'd be a washout. It'd be a washout, a spiritual washout, and that's what we need. Help us come prepared for Sunday. Save souls and bless the saved. And again, we pray for everybody on our prayer list that you'll deal with each and every life, every person. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right, anything else to mention?